5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. From last week's Jazz Times magazine, the Oscar-winning animated film Soul will be a traveling museum exhibit titled Soul of Jazz, An American Adventure. It'll be shown at New Orleans Museum of Jazz, beginning October 26, Kansas City's American Jazz Museum in December, and New York's National Jazz Museum in Harlem in February of 2022. Quote, each city will receive a unique version of the installation that focuses on that city's contribution to jazz and on each museum's jazz collection. For more information, disneyparks.disney.gov.com/blog. Pianist and vocalist Diana Krall has announced her 2022 34-city U.S. tour. First stop, the Wharton Center for Performing Arts, Cobb Great Hall in East Lansing, Michigan on January 16, 2022. Ticket pre-sales have already begun. For more information, tickets.dianacrawl.com. The Florida State University Trumpet Summit is scheduled for November 7th and November 8th, featuring guest artist Dr. Nancy Taylor. The event is free and open to the public. Attendees are encouraged to bring their trumpets as the day will include a mass trumpet ensemble rehearsal and performance. For more information, fsutrumpetstudio.com. Performing during a live stream tonight, November 4th, at 7 p.m. is the Brazilian group Sharp 5. Keyboardist Pete Levin, vocalist Terry Rozier, bassist John Menigan, drummer Jeff Siegel, and percussionist Nanny Assis, with Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York. For more information, facebook.com/jazzforumclub. At Jazz at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, the Ricky Ford Quartet performs on Sunday, November 8th, on the main stage. The performance is titled From Paris to Marlborough. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. Guitarist Pat Metheny performs at the Wilbur in Boston, Massachusetts on Sunday, November 7th, with his new project, Side Eye, that includes pianist James Francis and drummer Joe Dyson. For more information, thewilbur.com. This November and December, guitarist Frank Vignola's Guitar Night will take place most every Wednesday at Birdland in New York City with special guests each evening. Vignola welcomes Jazz at Lincoln Center guitarist and Juilliard professor James Chirillo to sit in with his quartet of Jimmy Bruno on guitar, Peter Washington on bass, and Vince Chirico on drums on Wednesday, November 10th. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. And now for new releases. Out tomorrow, November 5th, vocalist Alexis Cole's Blossom on Zoho Music, multi-readist and composer Philippe Côté and pianist Mark Copeland's two releases, The Bell Toll Variations and Fleur Revisited on Odd Sound, and pianist Matthew Shipp's Codebreaker on Teo Forms. Other releases out now, pianist, composer, and educator Dave Meader's Unamuno Songs and Stories on Outside in Music, band leader Gordon Goodwin's big fat band Reset on Music of Content, the single Video Game Soundtrack by Anthropoda on Tiny Records, and guitarist Miles Okazaki and drummer Dan Weiss's Music for Drums and Guitar on Cygnus Recordings. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. My guests today are bassist and composer Adam Hopkins of Out of Your Head Records, based in Virginia, and bassist and composer Michael Formanek of Circular Files Records, based in New Jersey. So thank you both for joining me on Situation Fluxus.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me. I knew that
was good. Oh, gosh. So... how old are your respective labels? Let's start with Michael.
It was only recently born, and I wouldn't say it's officially a label until the first release, which is due in March. So this is a new thing for me. I mean, Adam is the old pro here, which defies the logic of the situation. So I kind of decided to do this after many years of thinking about it and kind of talking myself out of it most of the time.
So right now people can find out about its progress on Facebook.
Yes.
Okay. And Adam.
We started in, the first release was October 2018, so I guess we're coming up on 3 years here.
Okay. Adam, on Out of Your Head's website, there are three other folks involved with it. Visual artist and musician TJ Huff, illustrator and designer Nick, is it Previs?
Previs, yeah.
Previs, and drummer Scott Clark. As well as the overall look of the website, the album cover art, and being Out of Your Head label artists, are they part of the decision-making process in recruiting talent?
Oh, great question. So Scott is, because Scott is all of those people are musicians as well, but Scott and I are full-time musicians. So I moved to Richmond at the end of 2008. Oh, you know what? I started the label and then 2 months later I moved to Richmond. So Scott is a musician that I have known and would come through Richmond to play shows and he would help set them up. So when I moved to Richmond, Scott and I talked about it and me and Scott make decisions about what music we're going to put out. So we both listen to it and decide if we think that it'll be a good fit. And also we talk a lot about artists that we would love to have on the label, which is always a work in progress. So TJ and Nick don't have anything to do with the recruitment of the musicians. TJ does all of the album art and Nick does all the logo design.
Okay. Michael, who's with you at Circular File? I want to say Circular Firing Squad, but it's Circular File.
Circular File. It might be a Circular Firing Squad event.
Could happen.
Right, I could be shooting myself. So it's really just me right now. I mean, I a lot of time was spent alone, you know, and I started working this out once I recorded. I mean, the first recording is a trio that I started during the pandemic that with a saxophonist Chet Doxis and a drummer named Vinny Sparazza. We formed this group. I did the recording and then I decided to put it on myself. Chet Doxis actually has been a big help. I mean, it's not like I could employ him either as a musician or as a working for the label, but he works with me a lot. He's great. I mean, he's got a lot of, kind of like Adam, he's somebody that's just got a lot of, like, too many ideas for his own good and a lot of energy and just all kinds of things that he suggests. And then I think about that sounds like a great idea until I actually start doing it. But he remains a big help. So I would say unofficially, Chet is kind of works with me on that. But otherwise, it's just me so far. A great design team of Warren Lynn and Steve Byram, who are great, both great artists. They did, the album and CD art and logo design and all that. So, I mean, I get help from people that are great and really know what they're doing. But so far, it's more on that level. It hasn't sort of become, a mega empire like Adam has.
You're both musicians and you have musician friends. Have you had to turn away projects, some by musicians you know well, because they weren't, to say politely, doesn't fit the format or vision of the label?
You want me to go first?
If you dare. Your friends are listening.
For me, it's been less that it doesn't fit, because the really cool thing that has happened that I'm happy that has happened is people kind of know, the label sort of does have a sound and people know that. And everyone who sends us stuff, it actually would be artistically a fit. We just can't take it all on. I wish I had more time to do it all and more resources. You know, it's money up front for every release that we do, and a lot of them don't even make that money back. So I do have to make decisions based on not completely the music. Sometimes you do have to decide, like, well, what will people actually buy? There's so much more music that I would love to put out. I'd love to put out all my friends' music. But yeah, never not fitting the vision of the label, more just we can't take that much on.
Yeah. And Michael, you're just starting out, but what's been the response from musicians that, oh, I'm starting a new label?
I mean, it's been sort of interesting. I mean, I have heard from some people that I don't think I'd normally hear from. And you know, it's been, you know, so far it's, I mean, I don't think anybody has, you know, any illusions that it's going to be a big deal. So it's not like I'm getting, you know, people sending me packages and demos yet. I'm sure that at some point that might come, because everybody is just trying to get stuff out. And I, you know, again, I might like to be able to do that in some cases. I just don't know how much. I mean, already time is always a, you know, difficult thing, as Adam well knows right now, but a difficult thing to find enough of to do things. Even like I'm, you know, looking at, you know, once I get the vinyl and all that for this release, that I'm going to have to actually get all those to post offices and different, you know, all that.
We'll
kind of
talk about that sometime.
There's a lot of time involved. And so, yeah, I mean, there are, you know, people, I've kept it still pretty low key. You know, I have an Instagram page and I have a Facebook page and I've got people that, you know, but I haven't like posted too much. I'm just sort of kind of taking my time a little bit when I really have, because the releases, I mean, I have the CDs already. I'm waiting for the vinyl. I'm kind of doing it. Once that all starts to happen, I'll just start being a little more insistent about it, getting it out there, kind of saying, you know, more about it. And at that point, I think I probably will have some more of that, maybe, but we'll see.
Don't be shy, man. Don't be shy.
I think it's shyness. It's I don't know. It's something else. It's something I don't know what.
If I panned around this room, you would just see boxes of records and CDs that are just sitting. It's the post thing is real. Yeah. It is a struggle.
You mean the rising postal?
Well, packaging and mailing stuff, but then the chance that half of it's not going to show up anyway. It's a doing the mailing for the label is a lot of work.
Nightmare. Right. Well, speaking of releases, let's talk about, or you talk about, your latest projects. So, Adam, what do you got in the hopper?
So the next two that we have coming up, one is announced just because the Wire magazine wanted to premiere a track from it. So we put that up ahead of time, and it's really early for us because, like Mike, for his record, we're waiting on vinyl, and we won't have that till the end of February or the beginning of March. But we wanted people to be able to see it in the Wire and then hear the music. So that's a new music composer. Eric Webbles is a pianist, and he and the great saxophonist Anna Weber are married. So I met Eric through Anna Weber. And it's a recording. The first half is duo with Charmaine Lee, the electronics vocalist, improviser, and the second half is a piece that Eric wrote with trombonist Weston Olenke. So that's different for us because it's not jazz. It's more of a contemporary classical recording, which we're really excited about because I've always wanted to get into that world a little bit, and it's music that I love. And My thing is always, I want to release music that I love. So that's really the process of picking what we put out. And then one other one, Mike will recognize these names. The Untamed series, which is a live series recorded during the pandemic. Our friends, Dave Ballou and John Diker and Luke Stewart and Mike Cool. It's Mike Cool's band, a great drummer from Baltimore that me and Mike play with. We did play with a lot in Baltimore and do still play with from time to time. They have a quartet recording that we're going to put out on the Untamed series, which is awesome. And I'm really excited about it.
Sweet, sweet. All right, Michael, what do you got?
Well, there's a bunch of, you know, things with other, I mean, I work with a couple of other labels. And so I have some things that either just come out or coming out on their labels. But what I have coming out is this recording. It was recorded with this trio that I mentioned with Chet Doxis and Vinny Sparassa. And it's music that I wrote during the pandemic, that we rehearsed in my backyard during the lockdowns and recorded in December. And then I kind of went through and decided to put it out and get it all. So there's a lot that's gone into it. I mean, without getting too far into it, the music itself is sort of based on these musical palindromes. And it kind of, for me, was something that was, I know this is more music talk than label talk, but it all connects, because it was music that I started with making graphic scores, and then the graphic scores ended up becoming these palindromes, and the palindromes, which can be read forward to backward or backward to forward in the same way. And so the music is got this sort of structural, you know, element, but then there's a lot of improvisation that sort of happens before and after and going into it. And so everything about it kind of relates to that in some way. The name of the recording is called "Were We Where We Were," and which
is a palindrome.
Well, it's a word order palindrome. So it actually is palindromic. But Kevin, the great writer, jazz critic Kevin Whitehead, pointed out to me that it isn't really a palindrome, but technically it is a palindrome.
It's a palindrome of words, but not letters.
The word order, but not letters.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's why argue little minutia like that. So anyway, but so there's a connection with all that within the music, and then the to some extent, if you want to argue about it, but I'm saying they're palindromes. And so we're putting that out. It we've also done some kind of in a related way. We've done some filming of that music, and we're putting together a little film with a great filmmaker, a guy named Michael Kelly, who is just putting out a film on Paul Motion. You know, it's just coming out right around now, and he's great. And he filmed us playing this music in my house, and we got, you know, so it's all kind of one of these projects so far. It's just basically, you know, oh, we have these ideas, we're going to do this thing, we're going to put it out. I mean, that said, I mean, I've been dealing with the sort of the real kind of music industry my whole life. I mean, the you know, dealing with labels, dealing with all that kind of stuff. So in a way, this is the most DIY in a way that I've ever done anything, but it just seemed appropriate at the time. And I get my inspiration from a lot of my, you know, younger friends, and, you know, Adam, and I mean, Tim Byrne, who's not younger, and I'll stress that he's not younger, and he's older than and he's been doing this kind of stuff for years. You know, so that's what I have coming out now. I have a lot of like live things. I have studio things I've never put out. You know, I have ideas of other things I may do either digitally or physically, but well, you know, for now, that's what I have coming.
How has the work home artistry balance going? You work your labels, you perform, and then you've got home lives. Where's the balance? And with the time left at the end of the week, what do you do to unwind?
Michael?
either one of us, it doesn't matter. Okay. No matter what, and I can probably speak for both of us, but no matter what either of us have done, it usually involves a lot more than just one thing, right? I mean, there's nobody I know in our general music world that really just can say, I'm just a musician. That's all I do is play.
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody plays, composes, books themselves, books their bands, goes out and hears new music, you know, mails things out to people. I mean, it's just like, a, you know, record labels, you know, whatever it is, social media, you know, stuff. It's all, you know, so on one level or another, we're always doing all this stuff all the time. So it's kind of, for me, I kind of feel like I never really stop working. It's just that the shift, it just always shifts. You know, like, oh, this week I'm working more playing, which is great. Another week it's more sending emails that no one's ever going to respond to or whatever. It's just kind of like that, you know, whatever, kind of whatever that happens to be. So, you know, I live in a nice place. It was, you know, it was kind of good to get through 2020 here with a backyard and a little bit of space and whatever, and feeling
with that, for sure.
And we could just sort of hang out here and be here and all that. And so, you know, but unwinding kind of right now, it's sort of hit and miss, just whatever, you know, is possible at any given time when something else isn't scheduled, that's going to conflict.
Yeah. A lot of what Michael said is true for me. And it's definitely week to week. It's like one week, there might be a ton of playing, which is great, and a ton of rehearsing and 'cause there's gigs, and then another week or another month, there might not be a lot of playing. And that's when I focus on label stuff and try to catch up with it, because the email inbox for the label is always backed up, because I'm always just trying to find time for it. But for me personally at the moment, my playing hasn't completely come back from COVID just yet, because, you know, the past 5 months have been with the baby. And I just moved to Richmond about a year before COVID hit. So I was kind of just starting to play here. And that's coming back a little bit slowly. I'm playing in New York more than I'm playing in Richmond at this point. So coming back to New York next week to play the Jazz Gallery with Anna Weber and Angela Morris's big band, because we released a record on Greenleaf in April 2020. So it was released with no show, because the show got canceled due to COVID. So it's a constant balance. But I actually think what Michael said, that we all do so many different things, kind of helps keep it all exciting. It's like you're never doing one thing all of the time, and all of the things are related. I think everything we do is related, and it's all just part of being a musician in 2021, as opposed to, Michael, maybe you would agree to this, but in the 80s, it was probably, you know, 90s even, it was easier to be just a musician and make that work without having to do all this right. Other stuff.
Yeah, though, I mean, it was more, usually that if you were ambitious, you know, you were also teaching, or you were also, yeah, you know, doing some other, but yeah, it was never. Because I remember even years ago, you might have even been there when Peter Erskine came down to Peabody, and he talked about one thing. He said, yeah, it was like already, and this would have been like maybe mid-2000s, that you know, every musician's wearing about 7 or 8 hats anyway, just all the time. And I think that it's all, I mean, if there are that, if you could have that many hats, I think it's probably double. since, you know, just in terms of that. But yeah, I mean, I think. Yeah, and we're in really good company, because most of who we deal with are our friends, are people that we know and respect, and we sometimes play in their projects, and they play in our projects, so it's also kind of got that kind of thing to it. It's not just, you know, business. We're also kind of working, you know, passing stuff around, opportunities.
Yeah, it's often like, okay, it's the same people, but it's your band because you wrote the music this time around. Like, a lot of that happens quite a bit. We're just playing each other's projects. I didn't answer your question about unwinding. Me and my wife watch a lot of the Great British Baking Show. That's like the one thing that we do on Friday nights to kick back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we love it. It's great.
Gentlemen, I like to give my guests the last word. So if there's something I didn't ask you, something that you'd like us to know about what you're doing.
Mike, you have some shows coming. Michael, you have some shows coming up, right?
I do. But I thought you were going to talk about yourself first.
Okay. So I would just say, for anyone listening, the greatest joy for me that I get out of running the label is just knowing that people are listening to the music. So if people would like to check out the Out of Your Head Bandcamp page, I check the stats. I really love knowing that people are enjoying it and checking it out, and that there's a reason to be doing it. So if anyone's interested and likes what they hear, we would love it if they just headed over to the website and gave a listen.
Great. Well, so since Adam reminded me, actually the around the release of my new recording, we're doing the trio is doing concerts kind of starting around the middle of March in sort of in the New York, general New York area, and then down to Baltimore, hopefully to Richmond.
I emailed you 10 minutes ago about that, by the way, right in advance of
this. I saw it. We don't have to talk about
Richmond,
it
now, hopefully.
Hopefully, and then Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Rochester, and hopefully Toronto. And so, you know, I've got quite a bit going for that. So I'm going to be posting that both on the record, on the label website, and our Facebook pages, but also wherever I can get it. So that's it. That's kind of it for me.
I guess I have one more thing to add, just as we're here with Michael as well. Another thing that has been great with Out of Your Head, because I get to curate it with Scott, is I've sort of been able to pick, since my release was the first one, I've kind of gotten to pick who my music is associated with and the artists that are on the label, because that's who we ask and that's what we put out. So having an artist like Michael, who's been really a true hero of mine in my life as a composer and a bass player and mentor, and people like Tim Byrne, who Michael introduced me to be able to put out music for those people as well and have it next to my own music has been really just a true honor and something that I'm really proud of with the label.
For more information on Out of Your Head Records, outofyourheadrecords.com. And for more information on Circular File Records, you can find it on Facebook, facebook.com/circularfilerecords. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com. info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org. And now for some music. Thank you. To artists from the two labels we were just learning about, from bassist Michael Formanek's newly formed record label Circular File, the release by his drone trio Were We Where We Were, and the cut Never Odd or Even. Chet Doxis on saxophone and Vinny Spiraza on drums. The release is due out in March of 2022. And from the double disc album by guitarist and banjo player Wendy Eisenberg, we heard the composition Coda from Bloodletting on Out of Your Head Records. It was recorded at Firehouse 12 in Connecticut in 2019. And now for some more music.
When the blues got you paying dues and feeling big,
go and throw your troubles away in the deep blue
sea. Really kick off your shoes and use those reeling feet.
Hurry on back, start jumping with me.
Let's jump, jump until they put out the lights and jump. I think you'll agree,
the music is as groovy as it used to be.
Troubles go doubles, so throw away your troubles and come on with me. Wait until we get on the floor, then jump, jump, jump until you can no more. My baby, now jump. Turn it loose and wiggle with a wobble and a giggle, pretty baby. Baby, tell me, do you wanna jive? Tell me, do you wanna jump? I don't care about what the people do or what people say. We're only here for a day. Well, I only know the main thing.
A lot of living, they go out and swing and pretty baby.
Jump with a rubbery dubbery feeling. Jump till you're really a rockin' and reeling. Jump till you're spinning all around. Pulling your body down all around, around, right onto the ground. And then you're really swinging. Come on and jump with me, little pretty one. Come on, jump up and down. Jump, baby, and stop. Don't stop swinging those hips around me. Jump till you really get the feeling. Over you to live and be happy, baby, while you may. Come on and swing, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Let's jump, jump until you feel it in the rump. Jump until you leap it up high. Well, you better reach and get it, for you never take it with you when you die. No. Shake that thing. So go ahead and wiggle, pretty baby, and rump. So pretty to the eye, so go ahead and shimmy, pretty baby, and jump. Spread wings, jump, jump, spread wings, jump, spread your wings, jump, jump, spread wings, jump, jump, spread your wings, jump, jump, spread your wings, and jump. Makes you feel so good. Like I knew it would, you gotta keep it swinging, pretty baby. Jump and make up all your mind to reach the summit. Jump
and give it an easy stride.
And jump
and give it a greasy slide.
And jump,
baby, won't you boogie it wide.
And jump,
jump until you raise up and glide.
And jump,
jump until you shake it loose and break it loose.
Slide along and glide along. Come on, old Bill Bailey. Please tell my friends I'm coming o'er the top. Well, I hate to go and leave you, but I tell you it's all over now, pretty baby.
Baby, it was fun, yes it was. Oh yes, it was fun, it was. I'm glad I met you, and I never will forget you and the way you dance. I'll never forget you, cause I love you, pretty baby, and I love the way you dance.
A siren for a song. quite sun, not quite the moon. So intense at dusk, the day that comes too soon.
Thank you.
the single from the Grammy-nominated vocal group Sage, featuring pianist Gerald Clayton on Dusk Baby. Sage, awarded the Jazz Road Creative Residencies grant, just finished up their debut album recording residency last month. And we started off with a bonus track from their 2020 release, Party of Four, the Royal Bobsters with Jazz Jump on Motema Records. Soprano Amy London, alto Gene O'Connor, bass Dylan Pramuk, and tenor Pete McGinnis. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.